Pastor Adam said to me this week, he said, "Are you sure you can handle preaching both services since it's been so long since you've done that?" I've enjoyed the college guys preaching, and then the last couple of weeks, Brother Steve with his worship. I'm grateful for that material. I'm going to just kind of have some fun this morning a little bit, okay? I've entitled the message this morning, How to Handle the Holidays. Okay, we're right on the verge of, in the next five or so weeks, three different holidays, and a lot's going to be happening, and various schedules are going to take place, and all of those kind of things. And I just wanted to kind of have some fun, as well as give you some scriptural principles that I think would help us to have a Christ-honoring holiday. I'm going to jump off from 1 Peter chapter number 4, because I think it kind of lays a foundation. 1 Peter chapter number 4. In the midst of difficult times, in as Peter is penning the words to his audience, and it kind of reminds us of some things we've been talking about in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7, he says, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. And as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." You know, as we move through what many describe as a tense time, if we kept in mind the fact that the greatest gift ever given, I think that's actually the name of a cantata or something that we're doing, right? Was indeed Jesus. And whether we argue about, well, he actually wasn't born on December 25th. I mean, after all, it's da-da-da-da-da. Well, you don't actually know that, right? You don't know the actual date he was born, do you? Anybody know the actual date he was born? Okay. Well, it could have been December 25th, right? You're like, no, because of this and this and this. Well, I could give you a lot of evidence that I think it probably was this time of year. But nevertheless, okay, the fact is we celebrate the greatest gift anybody could ever have. And that's not just the name of a cantata. It really is the truth of the matter. Now, we could talk about traditions and all those kind of things. We could talk about the people who are wrong who set up their Christmas tree before Thanksgiving. I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding, all right? I know some people do things all kinds of different ways, all right? And the truth is, these times, to me, can be a lot of fun. Matter of fact, if you were to ask me, if you were to pinpoint and say, what is your favorite week of the year? If I had to pinpoint a favorite week of the year, it'd be this week. Without question, because of Thanksgiving, because of the pie and praise, because we get to spend more time together with family, because on Friday, the proper time to set up your Christmas tree, we put up our Christmas tree and all that kind of stuff. I'm messing. Some of you are going to get all offended. It's all right. You know, I told you we were going to have some fun this morning. Okay? But during this time, we inevitably hear someone say, "This just stresses me out. I got gifts to buy, and I got parties to go to, and I got this happening, and family's coming in, rah!" And it's like, really? Like, that's really pretty sad, right? I got all these gifts to buy, and I mean, after all, I got to shop for all these people. You mean the people you're blessed to have in your life? Yeah. Traditions are fun, and different traditions are fun. I absolutely love this time of year. And I love to hear other traditions. And you hear of people who say, well, we did this. And I'm like, really? You know this story already. But a number of years ago when our daughter-in-law, our only daughter-in-law, came into the family, and we were talking about Thanksgiving, she's going to spend our first Thanksgiving with us and so forth. And we said, you know, is there something specific you would like? And she's like, well, of course you're going to have mac and cheese. And I'm like, what? No, we're not having mac and cheese at Thanksgiving. Whoever heard of mac and cheese at Thanksgiving? That's like ridiculous. And she was like, are you serious? And I'm like, oh, you're serious. Then I find out about half of you have mac and cheese at Thanksgiving. Matter of fact, I saw a survey last year. The favorite Thanksgiving meal or Thanksgiving item in the state of North Carolina is mac and cheese. And I'm like, are you serious? See, that just proves these poll people are crazy. Like, it doesn't, because they didn't ask me my opinion about that, right? It's from, Florida, probably so, yeah. But I've lived in North Carolina longer than I've anywhere else, all right? Let me just say this to you as we get started here this morning. We must keep Christ at the center of the holidays. As we go through all of this time, as we talk about the things that are going to happen, and Doug sends out a morning text on Sunday morning, and one of the things he said this morning was, isn't it wonderful that we have a country that actually sets aside a day for us to be grateful? Now, we're going to talk about Thanksgiving in the second service, okay? Because it's Thanksgiving and because the Holy Spirit orchestrated the 1 Thessalonians series perfectly, okay? So we'll talk about that. I'm going to have some fun with that as well, because there's some staggering research from a secular standpoint about what Thanksgiving does for us. But it is a blessing, and even everything else that goes with this. So let me give you some truths this morning that I think will help you, okay? Number one, spend time with God. Spend time with God. Throughout the holidays, make this a priority. Well, after all, it's because He has provided things for us to be thankful. It's Him that gives us every good gift. He is the gift of Christmas, isn't He? But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to do what? To redeem them. What an incredible thing, the gift of Christmas. And He offers new beginnings as we get to the new year. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, right? Revelation 21 and verse 5, and he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. In Numbers chapter 10 and verse 10, I thought this was an interesting text. Also in the day of your gladness, and in your solemn days, and in the beginnings of your months, ye shall blow with the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, that they may be to you for memorial before your God. I am the Lord your God. God says, there's going to be beginnings even in the Jewish calendar and how all that sets up. And He says, you do that with gladness because I am the Lord your God. And everything that we say and do is based upon Him. To spend time with God. Make church a priority this year. Spend some extra time in family time together. There are some wonderful, whether you want to call them Advent books or Christmas books or whatever, that you could take children through, those of you that have children. Lisa and I have read them a couple of times, and they're just fun to do. Some of them have crafts with them and all that kind of stuff. It's an opportunity for them to really stop and consider what's taking place during these times. Have some stories. Have some other ideas that you can do as you spend time before God. So will you make God a priority during the holidays? It's easy because we're out of schedule and people are not in school and this schedule happens and that, to get out of the habit, but spend time with God. Number two, spend some time with your family. We've already mentioned this in the devotional time, but you can combine these together. Make some cookies or eat some cookies. If you'll make them, I'll eat them, right? That's kind of the way it goes. You don't want me making them, all right? Do crafts from the above thing. Take a book and work through it. Watch a Christmas movie. Make memories together with your family. It's important to do that. And some of you will get together when you can't otherwise do that. And we'll talk about why our church schedule is a little bit different during this time. Deuteronomy 6, we know this passage of Scripture. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 6 in verse 7, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign between thine hand, and thou shalt be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. Can I tell you, we can't do this if we don't spend time together. The fact is, when we get to spend time together, then we can go over Scripture. We can talk about what God has done. We can review the year and the blessings that He's had for us. We can talk about what's the real meaning of this time of year and how can we focus upon that. You say, well, I don't have children. Well, who could you invest in? Is there some people that you could invest in this Christmas season, this holiday season? Go on a Christmas date. Men, take your wife on a Christmas date. Dwell with them according to knowledge. You're like, what's a Christmas date? I don't know. What is it? What is your wife like? That would be what the Christmas date is. Maybe a Christmas date would be letting her take a nap. Hey, man, if she's got a bunch of kids at home or whatever it might be. But I'm saying spend time together. Take it a priority to do that. We'll purpose to make time for our family and in a memorable way during these holidays. Probably my best Christmas growing up was a time when my mom and dad launched out and did what they believed God wanted them to do, and moved our family to Albuquerque, New Mexico. They actually, in a little town called San Bernardino, just outside of Albuquerque, New Mexico. It was a huge task. My dad was going out there to be an assistant pastor. I won't give you all the negative details, but let's just say that the pastor and pastor's wife were not all what they claimed to be. And it became, really, in a lot of ways, a nightmare story for our family. But that Christmas was the very best Christmas I ever remember as a child, because I went to bed on Christmas Eve with hardly any food in our house, no gifts, no nothing, and I thought, well, this is going to be interesting. I was five, and woke up the next morning to a house full of stuff. If I didn't believe in Santa Claus, no, I'm kidding. Those of you that think you ought to shoot him when you see him as a little statue outside, I'm just kidding, okay? Matter of fact, interesting, when I was home 2 weeks ago with my mom, for the first time, I found out the name of the lady who did that for us. I had no clue who it was, but it became a memorable time of God providing for someone who stepped out by faith, and I'm so glad my mom and dad did that. Number three, enjoy the season. Enjoy the season. Isn't one of the key words of this time of year joy? Like, that's... We have the signs are all over the place, and we sing songs about it and so forth, but watch people. Do people really think this is a joyful season? Most don't, do they? You're like, well, it's been a difficult year. Do you have the Lord? I'm not trying to make fun of the fact that you've had a difficult year. I'm just saying that in the Lord, we can still have the joy. It's because of the fact that He was robed in flesh, born of a virgin in a manger, that we have the hope of anything. That alone is enough to be joyful about. Did you know that some of Israel's feasts were some of the most joyous times of the year? I've talked with it before about a variety of things from Israel's feasts, but Israel and some of them God directed knew how to, if we were to talk about our modern day language, they knew how to throw a party. I mean, that they knew how to do it. And some of their feasts lasted 8 days. I mean, it's one of the reasons why our Thanksgiving lasts as long as it does, because I'm trying to be biblical about it, all right? We eat our Thanksgiving meal on Wednesday, and then we can eat it again on Thursday, and we can eat it again on Friday. See, it works out that way. Really nice, you know, when we do that. But Israel did that. Sukkoth, the Feast of Tabernacles, was a celebration of God's protection to them. Purim, we'll talk a little bit more about Purim later. Esther and the events that took place around Esther. They established the Feast of Purim. In Esther chapter 9, I'll say a little bit more about that later on. Though not listed in Scripture, Hanukkah is about to be celebrated by the Jewish people and has been celebrated over 2,000 years. Now, matter of fact, it's interesting. One site said, Hanukkah, also known as the Festival of Lights, is one of the most important and joyous holidays in Jewish religion. The eight-day celebration dates back thousands of years. Today, folks from all over the world celebrate by spinning the dreidel. That's one of their big things. That's a little game. Lighting the menorah. Some light a day, each day, until all eight. Some light it 8 days the entire time. Feasting on fried foods like potato lakis. And eating jelly donuts. It's all part of the tradition of the celebration of Hanukkah. By the way, Hanukkah is a incredible celebration. It really roots back to the Maccabean revolt, 167 when the temple was desecrated, and 164 when it was cleansed by the Maccabean revolt. And they only had enough oil to last a few hours, but they lit the candle anyway in the menorah and prayed that God would do a miracle until they could get more oil. And the oil in that little place lasted 8 days. Hence, Festival of Lights, Hanukkah, the 8 days that's festival there. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 47. I want you to listen to this because this is really important passage of Scripture. He says, because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. Therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies which the Lord shall send against thee in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want of all things, and he shall put a yoke of iron upon your neck until he have destroyed thee. Now I want you to listen to what God said to the children of Israel. Because you haven't celebrated my goodness to you, I'm not going to have goodness to you, and you're going to serve, but you're going to serve with a yoke of iron about your neck. So when you say, well, I don't have anything to celebrate, I want you to look God in the eyes and tell him that. I want you to say to God, I don't have anything to celebrate. Can I say this as lovingly as I can? No matter how difficult your year was, and some of us have had very difficult years, we have much to be thankful for. We have much to be thankful for. And God said, if you won't do this with joy and with gladness, fine, I'll take it all away from you. It's a pretty staggering thing, isn't it? In Luke chapter 1 and verse 44, and for lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Who was that baby? John the Baptist. Hearing of the Messiah's birth, not yet happened, in the womb, joy takes place. So enjoy the season. Don't look at all the negatives, and I'm going to talk about that here in just a minute, okay? Will you practice joy these holidays? Number four, concentrate on the good instead of the negative. I know there's negative out there. Inevitably, somebody's going to say, well, I don't like that particular hymn because it ain't got right theology in it. Okay. Just time out for a minute, okay? The one that I love to hear people say, you know, joy to the world, the Lord has come, let earth receive her king. That's totally wrong theology. What do you mean by that? Well, he didn't come as a king. Well, can I tell you, if you go back and look at the Old Testament passages, when he announced him as the Messiah, the same verse talks about him being born and being coming as a king. And by the way, he is our king, amen? So sing the song and stop worrying about all that stuff, right? You're like, well, I hate Christmas because it's so commercialized. Okay. Yeah, are people commercializing it? Absolutely. But still, don't concentrate on that. Starbucks says, happy holidays. And not Merry Christmas. I don't know what you're doing paying $5 for a cup of coffee anyway. My wife likes Starbucks sometimes, so anyway, I do buy her a cup, by the way, because I dwell with her according to knowledge, amen. The point is, don't concentrate on the negative. Absolutely, there's negative out there. Absolutely, if you just knock yourself out and go shopping on the morning of Black Friday, then you're going to deal with negative people in the crowd, because they'd rather kill you than not get that TV. So the easiest way to do it is sleep in, right? And then you don't have to worry about all that kind of stuff. Of course, this month, has anybody else noticed that they have Black Friday shopping all this month? All the sales are already going on, so don't go out anyway, all right? The point is, there's always negative there, of course, but concentrate instead on the good. Numbers 11 and verse 1, and when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. We don't take complaining near as serious as God does. I've often said, but it's true if you go back and look at it, God killed more people over complaining in the Old Testament than any other single thing. Be careful in the midst of all this. May we stop complaining during the holidays. Number five, evangelize. Did you know people are more sensitive to the gospel during this time? They're more sensitive to taking a tract, to talking about it. The truth is, people, now get this, people will sing rich theology, doctrine that they don't even know what it means. So why don't you take the time to say that? You're out in a restaurant, say to your waitress, that is a beautiful song. Do you know what that is? The text of that song actually says, oh yeah, I've heard that before. Okay, do you know what it means? It's actually talking about Jesus Christ as Messiah coming in a babe. Most of them probably are at least familiar, but use the opportunity. Hand out Christmas tracts. Hand out our cantata. people will come to a Christmas event that they won't normally come to otherwise. So use it. Use the opportunity to hand out those kind of things. After all, Luke 2:11 says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." Well, why did a Savior have to come? Because we need saving. That's why. And there are people out there who desperately need saving. Luke 2 and verse 17, "And when they'd heard it," or I'm sorry, "when they'd seen it," this was the shepherds, what did they do? "They made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child." Here's what's happened. The shepherds get the announcement. They go figure out, where is he? Oh, it's exactly as they said. Here's the babe, wrapped in swaddling clothes. By the way, we've talked about this before. I believe they were priestly shepherds. I think the lambs they were keeping were lambs going to be offered in the temple. I think those men knew exactly what swaddling clothes meant. I think they knew it all, okay? They get there, it's exactly what they do, and what do? They leave there and tell everybody what was said about the child from the very beginning. By the way, transport to Acts, I think it's Acts 6. I don't have it in my notes here. I think it's Acts 6. When the Bible says, "And a great many of the priests believed." Eventually, those priests figured out, oh boy, he is exactly who he claimed to be from start to finish. Evangelize. Will you purpose to be involved in the gospel during the holidays? The truth is, I realize some of you are more sheepish than others or whatever, but if you can walk and you can say Merry Christmas, you can be involved in the parade outreach. You really can. You just walk through the crowd and say, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. And the gospel's going out. You're like, well, what if those people throw it in the trash? That's not our responsibility. I've often prayed, Lord, may some of that material be laying on a counter somewhere and someone just pick it up and start leafing through it. You know, be involved. Number 6, rest. You're like, do you know what my schedule's like? Okay, I want you to hear me. I know there's hustle and bustle, but take some time to reflect and rest. Matter of fact, it's really interesting when you look at our country in the past. The winter time, a time when snow was on the ground and all that kind of stuff, was time that a lot of people took extra to rest. We do have a lot of conveniences today. So we're not bound to our cabins to reflect and rest and all that kind of stuff. But during this time, many of you are going to get extra time off and so forth. Take some time to rest. Don't be so strung out that you can't enjoy the times. Don't pack your schedule so full that you have no time to reflect. God told Israel to rest and to enjoy their labors. Matter of fact, there's a couple of passages of Scripture that when you read, you go, what? God actually told the nation of Israel that when they get all the harvest in and all the work done, they said, I want you to take a tithe, 10% of the abundance, and I want you to go throw a party. Literally, the text says, whatever your soul lusteth after. That's what the text actually says. Now, we typically think of the word lusteth as in a bad way, but it can be a good way. What are you craving? God says, you've worked hard, go enjoy it. It's exactly what the text said. Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 15 and Deuteronomy chapter 14 and verse 26, both of those talk about it. Eat what you want. Enjoy it. Have a great time. They had worked hard. The harvest was in. It was time to enjoy some of their labors. And God said, I want you to do this. It really changes the perspective when we realize, oh, wait a minute, you mean God told us to be abundant and to enjoy that abundance? He did. And he wanted the nation of Israel. And here's what God knew. God knew that when someone worked really, really, really hard, if they never got to enjoy the fruit of that labor, they probably wouldn't work hard next year or the year after that or the year after that. Because what do you know? If people get everything handed to them, they probably don't work very hard. That's a biblical principle, right? It's in the Word of God. It's restated, if you will, in the New Testament. He didn't work, doesn't eat. But if you do work, then enjoy the abundance. God was okay with that. Learn to rest. It's okay after the turkey meal just to sit back and chill for a little while, right? Like, you're like, I'm going to pass out anyway because I'm so full, you know. God's okay with that, literally, okay? He says that in his text. Learn to use rest. Number 7, give gifts. It's okay.
Well, I'm not buying gifts because it's commercialized.
Okay, can I just tell you that the greatest gift ever given to us, we didn't deserve? And he gave it to us not because we deserved it. He is the greatest gift. Let's go back to the Feast of Purim. Okay, what was happening in Esther 9 around the Feast of Purim? Let me just remind you of some of this, okay? The Jews were in captivity. Esther had become queen, but there was an edict. On a certain day, the Jews would be slaughtered. Eventually, we know the story, eventually Esther exposes Haman for who he really is. He's hanged along with his sons, and then they got to figure out, what are we going to do with this edict? Because the edict couldn't be changed. So what did they do? They said, well, let's send a second edict saying you're allowed to defend yourself. And so the Jews did. They actually, in Shushan the palace, the main thing, they actually defended them days, two different days, okay? We know that Mordecai was raised to second in command and all that kind of stuff. But as a result of this miraculous deliverance, okay, they instituted what was called the Feast of Purim. And at that feast, they did some interesting things. Esther chapter 9 and verse 22. As the days wherein the Jews rested from their enemies, and the month which was turned unto them from sorrow to joy, and from mourning into a good day, that they should make them days of feasting and joy, and of sending portions one to another, and gifts to the poor. Exodus 9, verse 26. Wherefore they called these days Purim, after the name of Pur. Therefore, for all the words of this letter and for all that which you have seen concerning this matter and which was come unto them. In other words, God said, because of the deliverance, how did the Jews celebrate? They feasted. They gave gifts to each other. They gave gifts to the poor. Isn't it interesting how much of things that we do today really are rooted in truth of Scripture, though people don't know it? Why is it this time of year people are more willing to give to the poor and so forth between Thanksgiving and Christmas? I can tell you why. Because like it or lump it, most of you like it in this room, this country was founded on biblical principles. And people understood that. And even though the people today don't actually know the rootedness of it, they understand the value of giving to others. It's okay. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, it doesn't have to cost money. There's nothing wrong with spending some money and so forth. It can be someone who needs it, or it can be someone that you love or whatever. It's not wrong to give gifts. It's okay during this time of year, okay, to be able to do that. And God let his people do it as a show of deliverance and love for each other. Number 8, purpose to start the new year right. Purpose to start the new year right. In other words, ask God over these next few weeks, God, what could I work on this year? What, is there a talent, a weakness to be strengthened? Is there something that you want me to do? Now, I must admit, this is not something that I do very well. My wife, on the other hand, does it very well, okay? She's constantly analyzing and working through and trying to improve and all that kind of stuff. I certainly want to improve, but as far as setting out this year, I'm going to do X and X, I'm just not very big on that, you know? But the truth is, a new year is an opportunity for a new beginning. That's what it is. Pray about what God wants to teach you in the new year. Is there something specific that he wants to do for you? Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul said, I understood that there were things behind me that I needed to forget. What things? Bad things? Probably. Like what? I don't know, killing people? Throwing them in jail? All that kind of stuff? Yeah. Good things? Probably. Churches he had planted, books he had written, things he had accomplished for Christ. Well, what was he saying? It wasn't that nothing back there mattered, because he does talk about some of those things, but what he's saying is, I'm not going to live back here, good or bad. I'm going to just find out, God, what do you want me to do this new year? What is it that I could do for you? How could I be a different person come next year? The fact is, there's not a person in this room that knows what next year holds. None of us. God does, but we don't. It's interesting, just, I don't know, in the last couple of weeks, I don't remember exactly where it was, but the last couple of weeks, I took some time to watch again our church's promotional video that we put together literally 1 week before COVID happened, you know? Do you know what's interesting about that video that jumps out to me? There's multiple people in that video that are no longer with us. We didn't know that when we filmed that. But if you look, I think there are three that I counted that are no longer with us. God knew that, okay? We don't know what God's going to do, but we do know that we can trust him. And what is it that he wants us to accomplish? It's okay to look at that and say, okay, God, is there some area that you would like for me to improve on this year? Ask God to show you what he wants for you in the new year. Evangelist Tom Farrell, who's now in heaven, used to always say, and anybody who's ever heard him preach this message will know immediately what it is. He always used to say, your attitude is your choice. Your attitude is your choice. Matter of fact, whenever I heard him preach the message, he may do this every time, but every time I heard him, he had the audience repeat, your attitude is your choice. As we head into what I believe is a wonderful time, but can be stressful, can be difficult, your attitude is your choice. What do you choose to do with it as you move forward is your choice. Will you keep Christ at the center of the holidays this year? Every one of them, will you keep Christ at the center of them? Now, let me just take a few minutes here to explain a little bit about what we're going to do over the course of the next month and a half or so. Obviously, our schedule's a little bit altered this week because our Wednesday night service has been moved to Monday night, okay? So Wednesday night service moved to Monday night. If you show up here on Wednesday night, enjoy the service by yourself, okay? Or with whoever else wasn't listening to announcement time, okay? that'll be 6 o'clock again next door with dessert, and then 7 o'clock approximately around in here. We'll move in here and Lord willing, live stream that as well as we work through that. Throughout the rest of the month, there'll be various things. Obviously, cantata day. We will have children's cantata at 8:45, and then we'll have our Christmas breakfast again. And the Care Corps will send out some information to you as we get closer to that. Let me just encourage you as we move towards that. That would be, what, 3 weeks from today? Is that right? 3 weeks from today? Okay. The last couple of years, we've ran out of food, okay. So you ladies, you know, the ladies particularly that makes the biscuits and gravy, just double that batch, it'd be great, okay? Because those were really good stuff, okay? But that's going to happen. Christmas weekend, Christmas happens to fall on a Sunday this year, okay? Here's what we're doing for that weekend. We are going to have a really special service on Christmas Eve. That service is going to be, staff reminder, we say 4 or 5. I don't remember. We'll get that information to you a little bit later on. It's probably going to be about an hour and a half service. We've got some really special things planned for that service. We're not going to let you in the auditorium until the time of the service, and we've got some neat things. We're going to ask you to be involved in that service as well. Some of you will read passages of Scripture, and you can involve your children or other people that's there. We really think it's going to be a very special service. That will be on the 24th. We're not going to have any services on the 25th, okay? That's Christmas Day. And I know there are a variety of opinions about that, okay? And let me just kind of walk you through why we made this decision, okay? We are doing a Christmas Eve service. Some people will do a Christmas Eve service and all their normal services on Christmas. I believe that part of the reason that God instituted festivals for Israel was for rest and family time. And not every one of them, for instance, Yom Kippur or the Day of Atonement was a very serious, strictly religious, if you will. They fasted during that day and so forth. It was a one-day feast. But many of the other feasts, God basically said to them, you need to rest. You need some time with your family. You need to enjoy the fruits of our labor. Okay? So we realize that a lot of people are getting together with family, families coming in and so forth. We want to give you the time to be able to enjoy that time together, but yet also have some time that we can worship our Lord. So we chose to do it on Christmas Eve because we really wanted to kind of kick off the weekend honoring Christ. So that's what we're going to do. Is it wrong for somebody to do it another way? No, but that's just what we have chosen to do with that. So that'll be a Christmas Eve service. We'll give you more information about that as we get a little bit closer to it. New Year's Day is also on a Sunday. Kind of neat how that works out, isn't it? If Christmas is on a Sunday, then you'll pick up that in just a few minutes, all right? That particular day, we're going to do a 10 o'clock Sunday school and an 11:30 worship that day. Now, I'll give you a little bit of break on the 8:45 service, and then we'll be back to regular services after that. There'll also be, in between Christmas and New Year's, I think there's a family fun night on that Wednesday night between the two and so forth. So trying to get the balance of worshiping our Lord and honoring Him in the process, as well as giving you time to spend with family that may be coming in or whatever, is really the balance that we're trying to work through. So I hope that'll be a blessing. That Christmas Eve service, there'll also be communion. And we've got some really, really fun, neat stuff. I think it's going to be a special service as we put that together. So that'll be over the next 6 weeks. I don't know exactly what that is, but I hope that'll be a blessing to you. And I hope these things will help you as we move through Christmas. Nothing I said this morning is groundbreaking, okay? But sometimes we get our focus off of what really is supposed to happen as we come into the holidays, and it's kind of like, let's concentrate on these scriptural truths and what God had for us, all right? Father, we thank you for your love and for your goodness to us. Thank you that you laid out things for us in Scripture that we can go back to, and it doesn't mean that someone does it differently is wrong, but you've given us some things that we can look at and say, oh, we can do it this way because you allowed your people to do it that way. And we're grateful for those things. Lord, we pray that as we move through this time, Monday night, as we praise you, really that service is about thanking and praising you for that. As we move to our cantata, we would love to see people saved. I think of some that have already committed to come who don't know you as Savior. Wow, what a rejoicing that would be as we tell them the greatest story ever told. And then the rest of the events. Sometimes people will come in to those events when they don't normally otherwise. Help us to be people that puts you at the center of everything that we say and do. And we love you. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, you're dismissed to Sunday school.